Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
Well, welcome back to the Names of God series. So far, we've gone through a couple, and ultimately, we've wrestled with the same central thought of the way that you see God determines the way you live your life. That is what it's all about. And so we're looking at these names of God to help us to understand who he is so that we can know how to act and go through life. And so every week we're coming back to one question, which is, if this is who God is, then what does it mean to follow him? How do I need to adjust my life in order to follow him? Because the world's going to tell you that God will adjust to you, right? Just do you. But that's not true at all. And when you look in Scripture, you realize that our God is unchanging. He is faithful, and he has always been from the very moment of creation and beyond. And so how are you doing with that question? If this is who God is, what does it mean for you to follow him? In this series, we've looked at Elohim, right? The first name that God gave to his creation. That is essentially that he is God the Creator. It's a powerful statement. Because he is our Creator, our lives should belong to him. They do belong to him. And then we last week looked at Jehovah, this idea that God is I am. He will always be this relational God that we can trust, even when we don't understand what it is that he's doing. Because we don't have the bigger picture. We are just a small part within all of it. And then today we're going to come to a very powerful name that God is going to reveal of himself, that of El Shaddai, God Almighty. Or another way to say it is God who is all sufficient, the God who is more than enough. We sing that song, and I love that song, that God is certainly more than enough for me. But do we believe that? Well, the thing that I want us to understand, the central theme for this whole message that I want you to get, that if you talk about anything else, talk about this, it's that since God is El Shaddai, you can rely on him when your strength is insufficient. And man, isn't that always the case? Because, and truthfully, we probably all need to hear this right now, right? Because a lot of us are exhausted from trying harder, from carrying the pressures of life, attempting to hold it all together, and really just pretending that we're stronger than we are. We live in a culture that celebrates that the idea of self-sufficiency, that we are enough and that we can do and manifest anything that we really want it to. But discipleship, the idea of discipleship, which is our thread of all of 2026, is that it keeps bringing us back to this same conclusion that you are not enough. On your own, you are insufficient. And that's not bad news, okay? Again, that's where we have to be very careful. That's not bad news. Because God never asked you to be the Almighty. He never asked you to be everything. The truth is, the only thing he's ever asked of you to be is faithful, to trust him, to be obedient. And yet we constantly convince ourselves that we have to be everything, all the time, perfect. I was thinking this week where about something in my life, and it didn't take very long to come up with something where I felt like I had to be all the things and completely sufficient in order to be valuable. And because there's so many examples in my life where I've tried this and God has humbled me and shown me that I am anything but. But I wanted to come up with something where, that I worked on for a really, really long time, that I struggled with for a long time until I finally gave up and called in something, a professional. And it always comes back to construction. I like to think that I'm handy, okay? And that is, as most women can attest to, the most dangerous thing. If a guy thinks that they're handy, and I grew up in the 80s where I was watching the Cosby Show and Cliff Huxtable always thought he could fix something and he always made it worse. And then in the 90s, it was Tim Allen, right? And his home improvement show, and he always wanted to ramp it up, give it more power, and it would always explode. You guys with me? If you're young, sorry, you should go back and watch those shows. They're quality, quality television. I think Home Improvement is streaming. Pretty sure Cosby's been canceled everywhere. It's a whole different situation. That's not the story. The story is, I found myself with my brother-in-law one day in this little guest apartment that my father-in-law had built. And so he, of course, tasked myself and my brother-in-law, what he liked to call his servants. We got to marry his daughters, and so he pretty much used us as much as possible and put us in very dangerous situations. And we were fine. We were happy for it. We loved our wives, and it was worth it. So anyway, we found ourselves in an apartment that he had built doing drywall. I hate drywall. Okay, I really do hate it. I'm not good at it. I don't mind the hanging it part. It's the mudding it and the seaming and the putting together the tape, which is not tape. It's just paper, right? You put it on the wall, it falls off. Okay, it's not tape. Tape is stick. It's a whole other thing. So anyway, he said, I need you guys to go. It's very simple. It's a very small apartment. It's probably less than 1,000 square feet. I want you guys to mud the sheetrock and, you know, get it ready to be painted. And we were like, well, we don't do that. And he's like, well, it's easy. You just do this and do this. And we were like, okay. So we spent hours taping the easy parts. And then we got to the part where, like, the wall comes to the roof, the ceiling, and it's an angle. And, well, we just started using the most mud. And it was everywhere. And we got to other corners. We didn't know how to do a corner. And I mean, we were just in there. And listen, here's one thing you got to know about my brother-in-law and I. We are going to be laughing regardless of what we're doing. And so there was a lot of laughter. There was a lot of stepping back going, that's not going to do. There was more step, you know, there was some more like, well, a little bit's good and a lot's better, right? So you just start slathering it on. And we finally got to this one point where the mud wouldn't stick anymore. We were running out and it was just a giant mess. And my brother-in-law goes, I don't have any idea how to do that. I'm like, I haven't known how to do any of this. And he's like, I think I'm going to call Angel. Angel was our Spanish language pastor who had been in construction his whole life. And so he calls Angel. He's like, hey, man, we got a little problem. We can't figure out how to do this angle. And so Angel tried to explain it to us. We just looked. We were like, no, you have to come over. And so he's like, all right, I'll be there. He came over about 20 minutes. He walks in and he went, what do you guys do? And we're like, what are you talking about? He's like, you can't, give me the knife. And in 30 minutes, he did the whole thing. And we were just standing there like, oh, we could have started with that. And I started thinking, like, that's the way we are with God all the time. We're like, I got this. I can do this. Or maybe, you know, you're not even that confident, but you're like, well, I have to be able to handle this. I have to be able to try to do this. Meanwhile, God's going, just give it to me and trust me. But we don't do it. And we're going to jump into a text this morning. We're going to go back to Genesis, and we're going to look at a man who did very similar, right? God had given him a promise. God showed him that he was going to do something incredible through him, but he got impatient and he started working in his own power. So I want you to look in Genesis chapter 17, which is where we're going to be for the central part of the text today, and then we're going to kind of bounce around a little bit. But Genesis 17 verse 1 says, when Abram was 99 years old, that's a very important part of this story. Abram was 99 years old. Now listen, I know the people, they lived a little bit longer then, but they weren't living much longer than this. 99 was still pretty old. Abraham was in a waiting period at this point, still at 99 years old. He had been waiting for decades for God's promise, for a son, for the fulfillment of this covenant that God had made from him some 25 years earlier. And at this point, really humanly speaking, this situation was impossible that God might fulfill his promise, because Abram is old, Sarai is barren, the promise feels unfulfilled. But then, in the midst of it all, God appears. And look at the second part of that verse. It says, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. So this is the first appearance of this name in Scripture. And notice when God reveals it. Not when Abraham was at his strongest, but the total opposite, where he was the weakest. And if you know anything about the Abraham story, you know that the Abraham, you know, he didn't grow up in the Christian faith, right? He was a pagan. He was living in the land until God came to him and said, I have a plan for you. I'm going to do something amazing through you. I'm going to make the nations come out of you. And he made this promise to Abram that if he would move, he would do all these amazing things. He gave him this direction. And so if you jump back to Genesis chapter 12, we kind of jump into that. Verse 1 says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So here we have that original covenantal promise that God made to Abram when he was 75 years old, which means by the time we get to verse 1 of chapter 17, Abram's been waiting 25 years for the fulfillment of this promise. And here's what is super important for us to understand today from this, is that God often reveals his sufficiency most clearly to us when we are at the end of our own strength, when we are beyond our ability, when after every resource that we have has run out and we're just standing there looking going, I don't know what else to do. But as long as we are believing that we are enough, we rarely depend on him fully. That's a huge problem that we have. But God, El Shaddai, it means God is more than enough. Or really, he's the one who has his hand in everything. That name carries this idea that God has all of the strength, all of the power, that he is fully a provider of all that we need, totally sufficient on his own. And so God is saying to Abram, what you cannot accomplish in your own strength, I can accomplish in mine. Trust me in that. And this is the same thing that he's asking all of us who would call ourselves Christ followers today. If we want to be better disciples of Christ, we need to trust in this. Because a lot of people today say that they believe in God, but they still live as if everything depends on them. And that is just a false understanding. But it causes us to overwork, it causes us to overcontrol things, it causes us to overworry, all of these things that are burdens upon us. And why? Because deep down, we think that if I don't hold all of this together, everything's going to fall apart. That's what we believe in our heart. But El Shaddai reminds us that God is the only one that is sufficient. When we're not, he is. And so God calls Abram to walk with him in understanding and patience. And we jump back to verse 17. God says, "This is who I am. Now serve me faithfully and live a blameless life." Some translations say here, "Walk before me." In other words, live in my presence. And that's important because God doesn't say, "Hey, figure everything out and don't call me." It's the opposite. He says, "I am with you, so walk with me and live according to my statutes." See, following God is not about proving your own strength. It's actually about depending on his. That's what we have to understand. And Abram's story shows us this, right? If you jump back to chapter 16, we see that Abram and his wife, at their most desperate, right? They're in their 80s now. Things aren't going the way that God promised. Obviously, Sarai is impatient at best, but they show that they have lost dependence on God when they try to help God and his promise. Look in verse 1 of chapter 16. It says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, 'The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her.' And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt." So at this point, when this decision is made, it's been about 11 years since the message that God gave to Abram. And Abram and Sarai, they're feeling a certain kind of way, right? And you know this feeling in the midst of your own waiting. It's painful. It's worrisome. And the temptation to rely on ourself and our own ideas that we have that pop into our head becomes very, very tempting. See, impatience produces substitutes for trusts in our lives. And what we're going to see here in this story, when Abram, and again, insert yourself here, relies on himself and his own understanding, things get messy every time. Many of us are spiritually exhausted right now because we are trying to carry what only God can carry. We are trying to control what only God truly controls. And we are trying to sustain in the middle of all of that on our own, apart from him, apart from the strength that only he offers. But thankfully, God's covenant to us and to Abram didn't depend on our own power. And so if you know the story, you know that after the child is born, we see in 16, things get incredibly messy between Sarai and Hagar, and to the point where Abram has to send Hagar and the child away. And then you jump 15 years, right, from the end of chapter 16 to verse 1 of chapter 17, which left us with God reminding Abram who he is, El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty, and reiterating what he's going to do through him. Look at verse 2 in chapter 17. He says, "I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants." At this, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham. For you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you, from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. Notice how many times God says, I will. That is definite. It's not an uncertainty. It's a promise. And the covenant that God is making rests on God's power, not Abraham's, not his performance, not his anything. Because God has made this promise to him. And man, that's grace. Abraham's body was weak, but God's promise is not. He is not bound by all the things that we are bound by. And that's important for us because a lot of us are feeling that right now. We're spiritually weak. We're emotionally drained. We're worn down. We just feel inadequate. But that's where you need to start truly believing that you don't have what it takes. You don't. By yourself, you do not have all that is going to be demanded of you. But life in discipleship has never been about your sufficiency, your ability to perform. It is all about His. And the good news is, for us today, in this time, Jesus is the full revelation of El Shaddai. And we can trust in that. Paul understood this well, right? If you know anything about Paul, he had what he called a thorn in the flesh. And he came to the part, it was either a pain or some ailment or something that he dealt with for a very, very long time. And he finally comes to the point in his life where he realizes that it's something that God is using to keep him humble, to keep him from becoming proud. Look in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. It says, each time he, God, said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's where we all need to get to. We got to get to the point of weakness where we can see God's power working through us in an amazing way. Notice Paul didn't say, I just need to be stronger. I just need to just keep pushing through on my own strength. He says, God reminded me that His grace is sufficient. At the cross, Jesus did what we could never do for ourselves. And through Him, we understand grace that is sufficient. We understand strength that is available and the power that has been perfected in weakness. Everything that we have is sustained by God, by His strength in us. And that has to be the starting point for all of us, right? At some point, we have to all, and many of you have already made this decision to say, God, I am not enough. I cannot solve my sin problem on my own. I am not capable, but you are. And you turn. And you follow Jesus. You repent of your sin and you follow Him. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why He came, to take on our burden of sin, to take on our inability to declare victory over sin. And He died on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sin so that we could be made whole. And if you've never made that decision, that's your starting point. To accept that free gift of salvation, to stop running in your own strength, and to start trusting in His eternal, faithful strength. If you've never made that decision, I want to talk to you right after church. Let's have a conversation. Let's see what the Lord wants from you together. But for those who have made that decision, who are trying to walk through this path of discipleship, we have to recognize that what discipleship is dependence on God over our self-sufficiency. That's the real battle. Am I going to really depend on Him? Because dependence feels uncomfortable. It's letting go. It's opening your hands. It requires humility, surrender, and trust. Genuine trust. Some of you here are exhausted. You are tired. You're burned out because you are trying to be your own El Shaddai. And you were never meant to carry that weight. It's not how you were designed. So here's what I want us to do. In the Head, Heart, and Hands this week, I wanted to give us something to help us to lay that down and to trust in Him. Because no matter where you are, we all could do this a little bit better. Because if we're honest, we all worry a little too much. We all do a lot in our own strength. And we all constantly hold back at least something from what God is calling us to just let Him have. So here's what I want us to do. In our head, what I want us to understand, the truth that I want us to know is that El Shaddai never runs out of strength. Never. Never. Maybe just say that over and over again. That the Lord Almighty never runs out of strength. He is all sufficient. He is powerful. He is faithful. He is more than enough. And then in our heart, what I want us to ask ourselves honestly is, what am I carrying that God has never asked me to carry? Where am I trying to be El Shaddai in my life that I need to just rely on Him? As scary as it might be, as nerve-wracking as it might be, where do I need to trust Him? Which leads us into the last thing, what I want you to really do with your hands this week. I want you to take one practical step of dependence. Maybe it's asking for help. Just stopping and asking for help. Make the call. Maybe it's to just rest instead of striving forward to try to get to this thing that you never seem to be able to get to. Perhaps it's to pray before you react to something that's happening in your life. Or maybe you just need to stop trying to control the outcomes of things that are far beyond your scope, far beyond your capability. See, Abram stood before God. He was old. He was weak. He was unable to fulfill the promise by himself. And God said, I am El Shaddai. I am enough. And I want you to hear that clearly. That, listen, your strength, no matter how strong you are, is limited. Your wisdom is incomplete. That your control is fragile. But El Shaddai is here with you. He doesn't weaken. He doesn't run out. He simply offers an invitation to depend on Him in everything. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank You that You are El Shaddai, God Almighty. Your hand is in everything and over all things, and we trust in You for that. So God, reveal in us the places in our life where we have tried to assume control, where we have tried to handle things, and it's brought us nothing but fatigue and burnout and exhaustion and frustration. God, show us the truth today. That You are enough. And we want us to just rest in You. God, may we do that in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.